Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by Elise Boak with Illinois Stop ERA. I thought we'd already stopped the ERA, Elise.
We did back in the 70s. People understood that the ERA was separate from Equal Opportunities for Women and that it was a flawed amendment, something that would harm women and harm the unborn child, and so they refused to fully ratify it.
But now there's a new push to ratify the ERA. It's going on in Illinois. Where else?
It was ratified in Nevada last year. They've been pushing it in Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, a number of different states that never ratified it in the first time.
And legally, how many states need to ratify the ERA for it to go to the next step?
That's a great question. So the Constitution requires 38 states to ratify it. The big question is whether the Equal Rights Amendment ran out of time because it had a 7-year time deadline, or whether they can legally resurrect it. Whether the Supreme Court allows this to stand, whether Congress allows this to stand, is a question that we have to answer.
Well, given the makeup of the Supreme Court as it is right now, how do things look?
That's a hard one to answer. I'm really not sure. And so as a result, we have to take this push to revive and fully ratify the Equal Rights Amendment very seriously. We can't say it's dead and nothing's going to happen. We have to treat it as if it's alive. Their side claims that they only have two more states that need to ratify it in order to make it fully ratified and binding.
So Illinois would be one of those.
Illinois would be one.
And the other?
I think they're going to try for any of the other states I've mentioned.
Well, what do the prospects look like in Illinois? We know that this could be a factor in the November election, right?
It is. And so we really need to understand that when people step forward and say the Equal Rights Amendment is a good thing for women, we need to understand that it's a harmful thing for women and a harmful thing for the unborn child. We need to separate the idea of equal opportunities for women from this flawed amendment, which has very poor language and actually harms women and the unborn child.
Well, I want to get into that, but let me go at you from this perspective. You know, I have a wife who works outside the home. I have two college-educated daughters, and I think equal rights, that sounds good for my daughters and my wife, but there's a big downside to this.
Right. I think we all agree with equal opportunities for women. I'm a woman. I fully agree with equal opportunities for women. The problem is the wording of this amendment. And the wording of this amendment says that you cannot make any distinction based on sex whatsoever. And so when you think about it, there are areas where we have logically said, because of our biological differences, there should be some distinctions made. And so that's what we have to recognize, is that the ERA is not going to benefit women. We already have laws in place that give us equal opportunities. And if we're missing anything, we need to write precise laws to remedy that.
So when it comes to equal pay for equal work and equal opportunity in the workplace for women, are we there yet?
We already have federal laws in place and state laws that mandate equal pay for women and equal treatment within the workplace for women.
We do. So why are the proponents of this so adamant that we need this?
The proponents tend to be extremists who are using this as a vehicle for pushing extreme change on our nation. Not only that, but they're using women as a cover for being able to pass this legislation that would overturn all abortion restrictions in all 50 states. So in essence, they are using women as a cover for killing our unborn children.
This is essentially a pro-abortion bill, right?
Absolutely. Right. And both the National Organization of Women, the ACLU, numerous supporters of the ERA have filed amicus briefs in court cases for state ERAs in which they have stated that the ERA absolutely mandates full access to abortion.
Don't we have that already in Illinois? We have House Bill 40, which provides taxpayer funding for abortions. About the only restriction, if you want to call it that, is a parental notification bill. So what's going to change?
The parental notification bill would be overturned for here in Illinois. And we need to understand that, unfortunately, the problems that we are encountering here in Illinois with the expansion of abortion, the expansion of taxpayer funding for abortion, with the ERA, that would be exported across all 50 states. So our actions here in Illinois affect the other 49 states.
You say this is really pro-abortion legislation. And in the wake of House Bill 40, is the ERA the next big thing?
It's their main push for this year. Last year, their main focus was HB 40, which was the taxpayer funding for abortion, the expansion of that. This year, they have said that their main focus is getting Illinois to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment, because they know if they do that, then they can export these harmful abortion, overturning all the abortion restrictions across all 50 states.
Well, is this the way to drive up the female vote in the November election?
Sure. You know, right now they just use the slogan. It's all about slogans and perception, and they are leading women to falsely believe that this ERA is going to solve all their problems, and it won't.
It's going to cause some other problems, too. We want to get into that in just a few moments, but let's take a time out. We'll get back to this discussion on the Equal Rights Amendment with Elise Boak from Illinois Stop ERA after these words.
It's a battle, but life is winning. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Sad report from World Online last week said a federal judge ruled last week that the Trump administration must help pregnant minors caught illegally crossing the U.S. border obtain abortions. But then scroll down a bit further, and there's this. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker signed a law barring state health insurance from paying for abortions, except in the case of rape, incest, or danger to the mother's life. And this. The governor of Tennessee seems likely to sign a bill that would block TennCare payments from going to Planned Parenthood. And there's more. Missouri's House overwhelmingly passed the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act that would protect the lives of unborn babies after 20 weeks gestation. See, the battle for life goes on, and in many ways, life's winning. Of course, we can't do too much about knucklehead federal judges, but there's much that can be achieved in local communities and through state-level activism. So please, get involved. For more on faith and culture, come to breakpoint.org. I'm John Stone Street.
Hello, I'm David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, a state-based Christian pro-life and pro-family public policy organization. I want to invite you to join us as we seek to be salt and light to a dark and rapidly decaying culture. You can do that in a number of ways. For example, you can join our email list to get timely alerts and great cultural commentaries. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, listen to our podcast, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can attend one or more of the special events and forums we host in different parts of the state. We do all these things to encourage and equip Christians in Illinois. You see, we need you to help us fulfill our mission to boldly bring a biblical perspective to public policy. Our faith requires us to be bold, speak truthfully, and love our neighbors. Join us. Visit IllinoisFamily.org to learn more. Again, that is IllinoisFamily.org.
Well, thanks again for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here, joined by Elise Boak with Illinois Stop ERA. Illinois Stop ERA, kind of a grassroots organization. Tell me.
You know, the big grassroots army in the 70s for defeating the Equal Rights Amendment came from the Stop ERA groups, as well as many of the other groups across the United States, as they realized the problems that would occur with the ERA.
And Phyllis Schlafly was a big part of that.
And so when we saw here in Illinois that they were trying to resurrect the ERA in the early 2000s, Phyllis asked me if I would help resurrect the group. And so we have been working since 2003 to prevent Illinois from ratifying the ERA and to educate people to understand that the Equal Rights Amendment is harmful to women and harmful to children, that it's not a good vehicle for helping women achieve any further equal opportunities that they feel they might need.
So the ERA won't bring them more pay or more benefits in the workplace, or more advancement opportunities in the workplace?
No, because all the legislation we need is already in the books, with many laws that were passed in the 60s and the 70s to benefit women. We have an Equal Pay Act. We have legislation that provides us with equal opportunity for education, equal credit, equal housing. It goes across the board. Anytime there is a problem within the employment field, we always have recourse by going to the EEOC and filing a claim. And I've seen, in working with claims with the EEOC, I've seen many women receive, they have resolved their issues in favor of the women.
Well, maybe men need an ERA, like men in their 50s in the workplace.
Yeah, Monty, let me just stop you right there, because the ERA actually says you can't make any distinction based on sex. And so men actually have been the ones that have benefited from the ERA in states with state ERAs more than women. We have seen men use this in Pennsylvania and Maryland, where they have state ERAs, where they have said, you know, I shouldn't have to pay child support, or I shouldn't have to pay alimony, or I shouldn't be responsible for my dependent wife's medical bills. And in each one of those cases, they were successful and they won. In Pennsylvania, men said, you know, this whole idea that women pay lower car insurance premiums than men is a form of sex discrimination, and under their state ERA, they were able to overturn that practice. The Legislative Assembly came back and said, you know, that's really not what we meant when we passed the ERA. It was supposed to benefit women. So they passed a law saying we're going to allow women to have lower car insurance rates because statistically they have less accidents, and so they should be able to pay lower premiums. Pennsylvania Supreme Court came back and said, no, you can't pass a law that violates our state ERA. The ERA, because it's a constitutional amendment, is stronger than a law. And so even though you want to go in and carve out exemptions and say, well, we think we should be able to make these distinctions here because it makes sense logically, you're not allowed to do that under an ERA. It ties your hands. And so that's where it's so harmful for women, is that once you've got that amendment in place, it is very broad and it prevents you from being able to make any individual distinctions that you think are necessary.
Well, let's talk about that. So men could actually use this against women, and if Illinois lawmakers say, oh, we need to tweak this a little, the courts are going to say, no, no.
No. This amendment, this language gives the courts no room for making any deviation, making any distinctions. They are bound by something called legal strict scrutiny. In any time that they're dealing with something that has to do with sex, they can't make any distinction. And so that goes with, for example, right now here in Illinois, we have different prisons for men and different prisons for women, and that makes total sense. You would never want to put a female prison inmate in with male prison inmates. They would be terribly vulnerable. It would be a very dangerous situation for them. And we even have recognized that as being so beneficial that we have specific programming, gender-specific programming, in those prisons that support women who are domestic abuse survivors, sex abuse survivors, etc. Under the ERA, that would overturn it. In fact, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said in a book that she wrote about the impact of the ERA, it's called Sex Bias in the U.S. Code, she said that prisons would have to be sex integrated. And so a man could come along and say, I think things are a little bit better over in the women's prisons, and I think that I should be allowed to go over there. And under an ERA, he would have a legal case for that.
And this is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, not known as a conservative by any means, and appointed by a liberal president, Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. we're talking about. So what about locker rooms, restrooms, that sort of thing, shower rooms?
Well, you know, so that you can't make any distinction based on sex, and so we would have to be talking about everything would have to be unisex, locker rooms, bathrooms, hospital rooms, nursing home rehab rooms, all of that would have to be unisex. The other issue that Justice Ginsburg brought up very clearly in her book multiple times is that if men are drafted with a military draft, women would have to be drafted. and there could be no exclusion from frontline combat, and there would have to be affirmative action in the transition, which means quotas. So women would have to be drafted in equal numbers to men, placed in equal numbers to men in frontline combat. And there couldn't be any acknowledgement that these women have young children at home, and so therefore they should receive preferential treatment, because the men could say, well, I have children at home too. So you would see women being treated exactly as men in spite of whether they feel biologically suited for being out there in frontline combat, and whether they want to place themselves in a position where they would be far more sexually vulnerable.
I spoke with a woman recently who said, you know what, we've lost this battle over locker rooms and restrooms already, and just get over it. The RA is here. What do you say to that?
I disagree, because many women that I talk to who are self-proclaimed feminists say, you know, I went into this fight looking for equal opportunities for women, but the things that are going to happen under the CRA are not something that benefits women. They're not something that's going to empower us. They're not something that's going to help us be successful. It actually hinders us and harms us. And so they're very much opposed to the ERA. On the issue of the bathrooms, you're talking about a transgender issue versus a total unisex issue. That's two different things. You're talking about the difficulty being able to protect an area that's very vulnerable, both from a sexual point of view and from a privacy point of view. And so I think people here in America are intelligent enough that they recognize there's a need to make distinctions based on logic, and not to just pass a blanket amendment that says no matter what, we're never going to make distinctions based on men and women.
Some of the literature that you have out there suggests that bigamy laws could even change. Really? Bigamy laws could change in the United States because of the ERA and the age of consent.
Those are both issues that Justice Ginsburg talks about in her book, and she does say that the bigamy laws would be overturned, and the age of consent would be dropped to 12. I think almost every parent would find this to be horrifying.
Wow. So bigamy laws, what could happen here? Tell me, what's the scenario that could play out?
So the language of the amendment says equality of rights shall not be abridged or denied by the United States or any state on account of sex. So you're saying you cannot use sex as a classification to make any distinction. Some have even said you can't pass any legislation that hinges around that. It all falls under that large blanket amendment. And that's why we're telling people we need to wake up and realize how overreaching this amendment is. It's very poorly written, and the only way, if we ratify it, the only way to change it is by passing another constitutional amendment, which is very difficult.
I'm sure, though, that even proponents of ERA don't want to lower the age of consent. But am I wrong on that?
I don't think they really care. They often feel that somehow the courts will find a way to work around that. They don't understand what legal strict scrutiny does. Strict scrutiny, to put it into perspective, that if you think about what we've done with race and with religion and national origin, those are all characteristics that are under strict scrutiny, where you can't make any distinction based on those classifications. And we're going to, under the ERA, you would do the same thing with sex. And so these supporters put too much faith in their belief that the judges can just make things up on the bench. They can't. They're held by the law. They have to follow the law. And so we have to be very careful about the wording of the law and make sure that it's what we want to put into our Constitution. If we really feel that we need an amendment in the Constitution, in the U.S. Constitution, that benefits women, then we need to start over and write a better amendment, one that will actually benefit women and not harm the unborn child, one that actually in the language points out areas where we're going to make exemptions, such as age of consent and privacy. and compelled military service. Areas like that, we tried to put those exemptions into the amendment in the 70s, and each one of them was struck out. And so that legislative history will inform the courts and make it binding, where, you know, it supports that whole overreaching impact. So we need to start over and write a better amendment.
Let's talk about the life issue once again here. It's my understanding that one of the goals of the ERA is to equate abortion as part of health care. Is that correct?
Yes. The rationale that they often use when they take this issue before the state courts, where they have state ERAs, is they say because women are the only ones able to undergo an abortion, because childbearing is unique to them, to treat them differently based on a physical characteristic unique to them is a form of sex discrimination. And so, whereas men are able to receive procedures that are unique to them, such as prostatectomies, circumcision, et cetera, therefore women must have unrestricted access to abortions. And they also argue that Medicaid funding must be made available for elective abortions, because Medicaid funding is available for prostatectomies and circumcisions.
At least we have a couple more minutes here. How do we stop the ERA in Illinois? What do we need to be doing? Lawmakers hear ERA and they think women's issues, and I'll have the women coming out and voting against me if I don't support this. And we've got a legislature controlled by Democrats who undoubtedly will try to pass this. So how do we stop the ERA in Illinois?
We need to do a couple of things. We need to educate people around us. We need to contact our state representative and state senator and tell them that we are very much opposed to the Equal Rights Amendment. We need to help people understand that we as women will not be used as a cover to kill our unborn child, and that we as women are not going to be used as somebody that will generate votes for people whose values are not in our best interest.
Let's pretend I'm a woman who opposes the ERA and I need to talk to a couple of my friends who support it. What should they be saying to their friends?
I think they need to help them understand that the Equal Rights Amendment is not going to help them accomplish their desires. It's not going to benefit women. It doesn't empower us. It actually creates many roadblocks and difficulties for us. And so I constantly am having those kind of conversations with women who believe in empowerment and equal opportunity. I believe in empowerment and equal opportunity. And so we need to look at, what is our vision? What is it that we want to see put into place? What do we already have as resources, and are we using those resources? It's very important to understand too, they talk a lot about equal pay with the ERA, and we're not going to get any further with that under the ERA. We already have the tools available to us. We need to understand why in some areas we're not making as much as men. We need to take a look at our life choices and see, if we're not going into the STEM field, we're not going to make as much. Why aren't we going into the STEM field? And that's a whole nother issue too. I've discovered in the high schools that if you take a look at the AP STEM courses, there are, such as AP Physics, there are very few girls taking those classes in high school. Very few. Why aren't we in those classes? Is that a life choice that we're making? And if so, we need to understand how that impacts our salary. Are we taking time out of our career to raise our children? That's a value that we have. But recognize, when we come back into the workforce, our resume's been impacted. And right now, we're working to have programs to help women get back into the workforce. But the ERA wouldn't allow you to have gender-specific programs to help women get back into the workforce.
So before you vote, you need to get up to date on this, and you need to talk to your lawmakers.
Absolutely. So please call your state representative, your state senator. These are your legislators that are down in Springfield. Those are the ones that need to hear from you. If you don't know who they are, Illinois Family Institute has a great link on their website on the front page with Official Finder. Click on that and put in your information, and go to the very bottom of the list for your state representative and state senator for their contact information.
How can folks connect with your organization?
I'm associated with the Illinois Family Institute, also the Eagle Forum. If they go onto Eagle Forum and go under issues, they'll get all kinds of information, or topics, they'll get all kinds of information about the Equal Rights Amendment. They'll also find my contact information there. They're welcome to reach out to me directly for more information. I'm at ebouk7@gmail.com. So that email address would be ebouk7@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you so much. Elise Bouk with Illinois Stop ERA, friend of Illinois Family Institute. Thanks for joining us here on the Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.